Praise God. Well, we're looking again tonight at keys to the move of God. We looked at two different keys so far with dealing with power and the areas of prayer, which really a lot is tied together with those. Last week we spent most of the time talking concerning prayer, dealing with about praying in the Spirit. It's really a hugely important part. This is one of the things of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, is most of the church world doesn't believe in being the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That has really limited the church. And Christians who are and don't pray in the Spirit are just as limited as the people who are not. There's no benefit. There's no benefit to being filled with the Holy Spirit if we're not going to cooperate with what He does. You know, it's one of the things is there's a difference between the Spirit in you and the Spirit on you. The Bible, if you follow through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the book of Acts, it talks about the Spirit coming on you. It talks about falling on them, dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, really, that deals with the anointing actually to minister in the Spirit. That's what it's for. It's for ministering in the Spirit, and it operates through us as the Spirit wills. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be able to pray out the will of God, this is one of the most important things. We can pray outside of our own mentality and knowledge that God can pray through us and bring to pass His will. We don't know everything, and we are limited in that area, but God is not limited in operating through us if we will cooperate with Him. He's not limited. So when people don't take the time to do that, God is limited on things that He can do. And it's a hugely important part especially being filled with the Holy Spirit. Most people get the idea, you know, and even being filled with the Spirit, their biggest thing is really the manifestation that follows the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. People put more emphasis on just that manifestation at that time than they do really of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. The number one important thing it is the Holy Spirit. Because it's most people, well, I get the manifestation in tongues, say, well, I was filled with the Spirit. But there's one thing about it. If you don't operate in it, you won't stay full of the Holy Ghost. Ain't going to ever happen to you. Because people need to understand how important it is that we pray in the Spirit. Jude said, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you don't do it, you won't be doing that. So you won't be building yourself up. One of the things that I like about praying in the Holy Ghost is because it's a charging system. Just like we, you know, do you ever notice how you don't neglect charging your phone? You know, generally people don't do that. I got to stay in my communication, but yet staying hooked up with God, people don't. Staying charged up, they don't really much care about it, you know. But it's really important that we do. So, and especially dealing with the areas, the power of God is really tied to the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the church. That's a hugely important thing. If you want to operate in the power of the Spirit, those two things are really tied together. And that's one of the things is, when I got born again, I really got to change life. And I mean, at first, first few months, I was really like, this is really something else. But then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I just did it in my bedroom. I had listened to Kenneth Hagin's tape on receiving the Holy Spirit, and I just did it. I didn't wait for somebody to lay hands on you. I thought, why would you wait to go to church or get somebody to do something? If I can receive this, then let's receive it. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, really, things really changed from there. Because manifestations of things started operating through me and that stuff. Well, that's just one of the things. If we just make the emphasis of just tongues from the standpoint, people think they just sort of arrived. When I was taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was taught about the manifestations of the Spirit would operate through me and those things. So if you're not taught that, you have no faith for it. People need to understand this. This stuff don't just happen. You have to have faith for it to happen. See, we live a life of faith, and Christians need to understand. We talk about walking by faith. A walk by faith means this is what your life is, or you walk or you do. In other words, if you're not operating in faith toward things, you shouldn't expect things to happen. See, I expect manifestations of the Spirit to operate through me. I mean, that should be the norm. That shouldn't be something that happens sometimes or something. That should be the norm, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so, and it's true, is people don't necessarily operate in faith of just the Holy Spirit generally in them. Well, you know, if God wants to do something, He'll do it. That's not faith. That's called unbelief. That's not faith. That's not a walk of faith. So the walk of faith is, like to me, is supernatural in life, that there becomes the absolute norm of things. And so we want to do that, because when I came into the kingdom back in the, back in 1980s, there was the charismatic renewal was going on. There was a lot more expectation about this stuff than there is today. Today, even many of the people that I knew that came into the kingdom at that time or taught those things don't even walk in them today. Many of the Pentecostal church people don't do it. Spirit-filled church people don't walk in the light of it. Oh, they talk about it and believe it on paper. The Bible is not any good on paper. If it doesn't, you can't have manifestations. What's the point of reading about it? I don't want to just read what somebody else does or gets. I want to read what somebody else. If I can't get the things that they have or talk about it, you know, I'm just not interested in just reading novels. A lot of people, the Bible, that is. I look at the Bible and I think, man, they got that. I want that. I'm going to have that too. I want it. You know, it's not something that, whoa, look at that. Ain't that cool what they did? If I can't do it, what's the point? You know, I want to learn things that I can participate or I can do, things that will help my life. I don't want to read about it. All this stuff is going on that somebody did in the past. If it ain't in the future, I have no interest in it. I don't have it. No, this stuff works. You need to get in your mind. It becomes real to you. And it's number one, the walk of faith is also a walk of talk. What do you say about things? You know, when you talk to things, you know, it's like with me, I talk to the, if something goes on, you know, I had some yellow jackets I wanted to kill that were around there. And you know what? I talked to them. I wanted them to come to me so I could kill them. So I talked to them. Hey, that's faith.
Yes.
People that don't just complain about them, they're walking the faith. They're doing nothing. Mm-hmm. They're helping the yellow jackets. I talk to you. They're going to come, sit down so I can whack them. That's what they're going to do. But you know, see, people don't use faith in their life. They don't use it. Hey, man, I do it with a fly. Fly keeps flying around. He won't sit down so I can kill him. When Adam was given authority over the animals, do you think he ran around with a whip and chair all the time? See, people don't get it today. They don't talk about things. This is just the way life is out here. And we talk about walking a life of faith, but we may use maybe that much faith in a week on things. And we don't talk to the things around us. Talk to things, you know. How do you think things are going to turn out for you? Like, you know, with me, and I have something up to do. I'm going to do this. This thing's going to work out fine. I say these things. I don't say, boy, I hope this, where I hope I can get this done. I can, you know what you just did? You just said a bunch of them. Hope don't get you nothing. Faith is the only thing that puts substance to hope. Other than that, hope is always something that's flighting down the road somewhere. Faith grabs a hold of that hope and brings it into now, it's mine. And so, learn to walk in that. Now, one of the keys that we're going to look about in the areas concerning the move of God, and it's called prosperity. From a scriptural standpoint, we need to understand this is one of the keys, because there's a purpose in it. If you're going to help deal with the word that help God fulfill His will in this earth, it's always going to cost something to do it. Just the way it is. I mean, it's part of what God made. When God created the earth, when He created it, He put gold in it. He put valuable things in the earth when He created it. There is a need for it. All these people that sit around talking about, you know, well, I don't know about this prosperity and stuff. Well, see how they are about money. You find out about how they are about it, you know. They just don't want anybody else having it. They're hoarding it for themselves. You know, it's something else. You need to understand this. God expects us to be invested into his kingdom. If you are not investing in him, like Israel, had God required all of Israel to tithe, that wasn't whether they wanted to or not. It was a command. They had to do it. And what was it? See, they were all invested into God's kingdom and his operation. It was required of those things. You know why? Because, you know, to build a temple and to do all the things to worship God, it costs some things. What are you going to sow into it, or what are you going to put into it? How valuable it is to you. It's like an investment in anything. This is something you got to sit down and decide. I learned a long time ago, you know, God is number one. You know, Wanda and I, we decided this. We just put things concerning the kingdom first before ourselves. I put God's kingdom before my need. Now, we've been doing this since 1980. I didn't have to come to some big revelation. I just saw what I was supposed to do. And it's just like, well, this is what you do. Is this true or not? Or you do it. So I decided, and Wanda and I got into this thing and we found out that this thing works. But God was always first. It wasn't something about, you know, we never sat down and say, we looked at our bills and the money we had. No, first thing we did is this is God's. This is his. Now we look at the rest of it, you know, even if you just tithe and you got, you got 10% and you get to look at 90. And if you can't make that work, well, you got a problem. I'm serious. People need to think about, you need to think about these things. How do you view? It's number one, investing in God's kingdom. It's number one, the best investment that Wanda and I ever made was never anything from an investment in this earth. It was in God's kingdom. And investing into people that God was using to do things. Is that important to you? Well, if it's not, you need to understand this. You can't say, I'm walking by faith and ignore those things. You can't. Because you are not walking by faith. Am I interested? This is one thing as I found. My interest in God's kingdom determined his interest in me. It's just like anything. Would you say, if you're out here in a business and you have employees, the employees who are really interested in the business, wouldn't you put more toward them than you do the ones who just come to work? Well, who do you think got that idea or where that came from? It didn't come from the devil. The devil will have you spend all the time with the nincompoops. That's why we have today in America, there's all these nincompoops and we have all these people spend all this time trying to take care of the nincompoops. All they do. That's the devil. That's what he does. The devil wants you to spend your time with what is not profitable. So we understand this. Number one, if we're going to carry out ministry in the earth, it's just like there is a requirement. One of the things that I always looked at is the prophet Elijah. If you remember, there was a woman who turned around and Elijah would come past her place, and so she told her husband she wanted to build a place where the prophet would come past and have a place to stay, so she built a room for him to stay. She's investing in this, because she knows this guy's a prophet of God. So she's going to, investing in his gift is investing in God. That's God's gift. See, I found a long time ago, one of the great things that Wanda and I have had is blessing, we invest in gifts. See, when I invest in somebody that has a gift, I'm investing in God. See, everybody else is investing in making hot dogs and hamburgers for people and doing all this kind of stuff. They don't invest in God's gifts. See, I've learned this. There's great profit in investing in God's gifts. People who are gifted, and if they're gifted, you know, I look at people that are doing things and say, man, you know, I want to help them do that. I want to, it's just like when we were here back in December and we were down in Mexico, the only thing I could think of down there is, I want to invest in this. These people are doing something here. This is God's work down here. I got to get my money. I can see an investment. I can see one, man. And I want to put some bucks into it. I'm not going to skimp at this thing. Why? Because I'm going to tell you the payback. It expands the kingdom, and God takes great interest in Wanda and Ed. See, a lot of people want something doing nothing. And we want to, it's investing. And I want you to see this, because if we're going to do this, I want you to see this because in the scriptures, we're going to go to James in the 5th chapter. I want you to show you something here. Many people take this from a natural standpoint. As one of the things is reading here in James, I personally believe that when James was writing this letter, which I find this happens with myself, I sit down and write things and I write stuff and all of a sudden I get an anointing to write. It becomes prophetic. Starts coming out of me, understood to say certain things and to do certain things. I've done that many times where I sit down and start to write, and all of a sudden, this thing is no longer Ed writing. I know just things start pouring out of me, and I start writing things out. And these things come by the Spirit. And I believe James did this especially with this, because we, you know, James, if we look at different things that he talked about in the fourth chapter of James. James was writing about people who are going out and doing things. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to make money. He said, hey man, you need to talk to God whether you need to be doing that or not. And I'm going to go do this. No, if it's the will of God for me to do it, I'll go do it. If it's not. So this is one of the things I find investment in the kingdom is really easy, because I watch to see what God's doing. And so God's doing it. I get in on this. Yeah, I can do that. We can do this. Finding out what the will of God is first. See, most people are always thinking, if people put as much into looking at, like today, the big thing is people know all the retirement and building up. Oh, you know, when I reach this certain age down here, that's not number, never was number one on my list. No way. I want to know what God, I'm going to put my investments where they're eternal. Because I ain't just going to be living in this earth. If that's all you got, good luck. You get to heaven, you can come over and see my place. This is it. But in other words, is what is God doing? I want to get involved in what God's doing. And James deals with something here. In the 5th chapter, verse 1, he's saying this. He says, come now, he says, you rich, weep, howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded. And their corrosion will be witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reaper have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. So I want you to is just looking at that part there. We'll go on. We can go on and read some more there. Let me go. I'm going to read 5. He says for the Lord of the Sabbath. And it goes on here to this. It says, you have lived in the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Then he makes his statement, because we need to understand what he's saying here, because this does not change what he's talking about. And this is why I believe it's prophetic, because in my Bible they make a new heading here on that, which they should have never done, because this is the same course that he's talking about. He says, therefore, or what's therefore for? Because of what I just said. Okay? Be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. He said, you also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now he's talking about, in other words, this has to do with the coming of the Lord. Now he's talking here about labors, he's talking about natural things, but you know, it's like the Apostle Paul said when used the scriptures in the Old Testament about the ox treading out the corn. Do you think God was talking about oxen? No, he was talking about the support of ministry is what he was talking about. The ones who are in support of ministry. I want to tell you that's what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is people who hoard money and don't give money to the laborers in the field. See, when I go out here and I see that there's laborers in the field, the church is required by God to support the laborers in the field. That's required. That's not something you're supposed to, well, if I want to do this. We're required to do that. Because we find out, see, you know, when people sit around and say, well, he's just talking about these rich people. And then somebody points, no, they just look at the rich guy. Well, the Bible says that the poor are supposed to say they're rich. You know what? I'm rich. Amen. And if you aren't rich, you ain't ever going to get there either. See, this walk of faith, see, I got to talk about what you say. Well, see, I always talk about Ed being rich. See, if you don't talk this way, see, I'm one of the rich guys. And I pay the laborers in the field. I ain't one of these guys at Hortz. Pay the laborers in the field. You do what's right. And see, this is one of the things that we need to see this, because it has to do with the end times, the move of God. There is a requirement. See, people need to support. You know, it's like the Lord told me, he spoke to me about being in the ministry, and he told me that I was not allowed to go into business and doing things and that stuff. He said, you live by the gospel. That's what you do. You live by the gospel. I watch these ministers all get sidetracked. They get in over a thing in business. See, your opportunities and things will come, but that's not what I'm called to do. That's not what I'm called to do. And people need to understand this, because he said those who, you know, they do the gospel, they're supposed to live by it. That's what they're supposed to do. And so, I just set myself in that direction. See, there's one thing that is, you know, I found this out. You know, people who will dedicate and support themselves to a ministry, that ministry will bless their lives. That ministry, that gift, I know from our church standpoint, people who are more submitted to my ministry, to the gift that's in me, God uses me more for their benefit. God brings more things through me that speaks to them. There's people, I've watched this over the years, of people really don't get submitted to it. And you know what? You can talk and teach, and they don't get 10% of what you say. They don't get it, because they're not submitted. You need to understand. This system, it's like, you know, I don't go down to the bank and try to get money I don't never put in there. And if I want money I didn't put in there, I got to pay to get it. You see, we understand, people somehow unhook. When they get over into Christianity, they're completely unhooked. They get into this idea of thing that this is a whole nother field. When you look in the earth how the laws of things operate, that's how the kingdom operates. It's what it is. It's how it operates. It's no different. You know? God's waiting for us to invest in it. We want something from his kingdom without investing in it. I'm sorry, it don't happen that way. You invest in it. It's just the way it works. You know, when Wanda and I found that out, I mean, you know, we just, this is what God wants, and I wanted blessed. I was taught that I would get blessed. So I'm just on the blessing side of things. Well, I sure wanted to prove it out. We ain't got no business going and telling God, people, how good God is when we ain't invested in it, because we ain't been getting nothing. You know, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. There's a lot of unjust Christians getting rainfall on them, but they ain't cause they're just. It's just God's good. But there's another thing with rain falling on you because you're doing what's right. Because you get more rain than the other guys do. Hallelujah. And see, we need to understand these principles. This is really an important thing, because there's a need. If we want a move of God, we have to be invested in the move. See, Wanda and I are invested in a move of God. We've been investing in it for years in different things, you know. I mean, when I see something, it goes on and I just see it, you know, just this week, and I read a thing from a ministry, you know, we support, and they just saw what God's been doing. It's phenomenal. And we just both, I told Wanda to read the thing. She read the thing, come back, and she said, we're going to give money, aren't we? I said, yes. I said, we're going to invest in this thing. I said, we need to do that. We need to put money into this thing, because man, it's doing a good thing. And I want to be able to, so that they can go ahead and do it because they need money to do it.
Yeah.
They can't do it without it. And see, I believe that that need is greater than my personal need. It's greater. And I know this, God will take care of my personal need. That's why I can give the money away. Because
yes.
If he don't take care of me, he's the dumbest guy in heaven. He would be stupid to not bless me. I mean, think of his ignorance if he wouldn't bless me. That would be the dumbest thing in the world.
Amen.
You definitely do for the person who's doing what's right. You want to see things get into their hands.
Amen.
And so when I look at, and you know what? This is why I just think different about one, and I think different about stuff. But we just look at things and see, well, hey, that's a need. It's greater than what I need right now. That's greater than me. We just got to do that. That's what we do. And we've been doing this since 1980. We didn't start doing this somewhere along the road. We started doing this when I saw what the Word said. I didn't have to need anybody to try to coach me into this thing. This is what you do. Follow God. You need to settle those things. If the Bible and you believe something is true, God will hold you accountable to do that. To not do what you know to do is sin. It is sin. You need to understand that. It is a sin. What do you do about sin? You're supposed to repent.
That's right.
Repent doesn't mean keep doing it and say, I'm sorry.
Right.
Now, I want you to think about that. See, how do we think? You know, this is what's important because, you know, in this last days, God wants to bring extraordinary prosperity.
Amen.
Why? For the move of God, there is a great need of money in the earth to carry out God's will. It don't get cheaper to fly places, go places, stay places. It doesn't get cheaper at all. And it costs. And I don't care how much it costs. God will give me enough money to support it.
Amen.
I don't care what it costs.
Amen.
God will give me. See, this is my walk of faith. It's my voice. My voice sets my future. My voice speaks to my future.
Amen.
And I say the future and I speak it and I say it. This is what I'm going to do. This is what makes things go and keeps things going that you got to do. You got to keep doing that. Say about yourself. See, if you sit down and talk different about your financial situations, you talk different about it. Don't be surprised. You're going to have problems with it. You'll go through things and you're going to go through. No, you speak to where I speak to where I want to go. No, I don't speak to where I'm at.
That's right.
Speaking to where I want to go. And you need to do that. You know, and I found this out. The more I speak about where I want to go, that's more where I end up. See, I'm never trying to do the will of God. I will do the will of God. Say, are you always perfect at it? No, I don't know anybody it is. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm a lot better at it than most. But you know, the whole thing of it is, you speak yourself to it. You just keep saying the right things. You keep speaking the right thing. Hallelujah. And then, act on what you say. Act on what you say. See, it doesn't do you any good. Wouldn't do you any good to read a book, you know, about, you know, gaining muscle and then don't do any use your muscles. You know, you're going to have to use them. Well, use your faith muscle. If you say you're going to do something, then act on it. Go ahead and act on it. Do it. Hallelujah. Put yourself in a good position, you're going to have to trust God. That'd be a wonderful thing to do. To put yourself in a position where we're going to have to trust God. Hallelujah. So you want to go there. But this prosperity, we need to see this. There's laborers in the field. Now, we find this speaks about the end times before Jesus coming back. The need for the wages paid to the harvesters. Now, this is toward the end times. So this would definitely be a key that God would put here. Because we're going to find out this key is in all the moves of God. The power of prayer and this key of prosperity is in every move of God. Every move of God that comes along is where it's at. Is today a smaller amount of Christians really do the support of really ministry, small amount. So that most of Christians are really not doing the will of God. You know, and it's like, you know, people have money, but it's what they do with their money. You know, it's just like all these people, they sit around now, let's go down to the poor area of town, all down. They really need help down. There's no money down there. I'm going to tell you what, if you can do drugs, you got to have money. No, it's what you spend your money on. What you spending your money on? Are you investing any of it or no? You investing it? What are you doing with it? Well, we want to return many times without anything to get a return off of. You know. We shouldn't, you know, if we never planted an apple tree, we shouldn't expect to go out one day and pick apples off a tree in our yard. You know, we shouldn't expect that. But see, many Christians are, of course, this is what happens. Christians aren't walking in the light of it. And then when they come and the need comes, it's not there. It's not there. See, this is why the faith life to me has always been about the future. It's always been about the future. When I got saved, it changed my future. It changed my future completely. Salvation, man. And just, you became a new creation. Think about this. You became a new creation. This is about a new life. You got a new life. This new life I only started in 1980. You know, this is the same body I had from 1950, but my life isn't from 1950. My life's from 1980. That's where my life's from. That's where my new life started. There we came. See, I got a new life. And one thing about it, this new life gets renewed every day. Amen. This is why, and you know why it gets renewed every day? Because of the walk of faith. Not because, see, you got to do that. If you want this renewal of life operating in you, you got to do the things of the kingdom. So this life rejuvenates you. You can't walk contrary to it and have the blessing of it. We walk in it by faith. Day by day, hallelujah, just walking along, doing the will of God. Hallelujah. You know, our lives are caused to bless. It's like Abraham. We could go and read into Abraham's life if we wanted to, and just look at Abraham's life and how God blessed Abraham and what he did. Abraham was invested into what God was doing. I mean, if we look at the fact, Abraham, we see a man who grew in such faith that God could say to him, I want you to go sacrifice your son for me. And you know what he did? God told him that one night, the next morning he gets up and go. My God, you can't get most Christians to do that in a year. See, when he does it, he got so invested in his faith in God that he said, God said, go do this. He gets up in the morning and says to his son, let's go. He didn't talk to mama over it. He heard from heaven. He went and did the will of God. He didn't check to see if it was all right with somebody. Well, I'm just trying to believe. I ain't trying to believe. You either do or you don't. You can't try to believe a thing. You know what? You can't. You will never try to believe anything. You either do or you don't. So you settle that with yourself. You either believe something or you don't believe it. You can't try to believe it. I'm going to try. Well, you know, it might be a lie, but I'll try believing it. Okay, I'll just... We don't try to believe. We just have a choice. Where, the way I did with myself, if the Bible says it, then it's true. So the Bible is true. See, most people, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? And most people will say, all Christians will say yes. But I know this, that most Christians really don't believe that. They really don't believe that's true because of their actions. They struggle at trying to believe anything the Bible says. No? See, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and it's the truth. And you know, whether I get it or not, it's the truth. I've settled that back in 1980. I settled the fact the Bible's true, and I'm going to follow it. It's the truth. I don't have to try to believe it. Hey, it's the truth. I've never had a struggle at trying to believe. Sometimes I struggle at the doing, but I never had the trouble at the believing part of it. I knew I was doing wrong when I didn't do it. Like most people. You wouldn't feel guilty if you were struggling to believe it. You know that it was true and you just ain't doing it. Hey, you can't pull it over on me. I'm human. I've lived in this place. I've walked around this stuff. You might get people and have the religious say it, all these sayings and stuff you do. But I know it. I've walked through this stuff. The Bible's true. I believe it. That settles it. It's true. Now, all I have to do is do it. Walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. See, you don't need revelation on what you ain't doing. See, when I see something of truth, I start walking toward it, and this is what I always find out. You get more revelation. Everybody wants all the revelation and never walks toward it. They never walk toward truth. Always go after truth. Go after truth. Do it. But I want to tell you this, and this thing is the investment into God's kingdom. We'll go into this more. We're going to later on looking at some things from the scriptures of God's use in the areas of prosperity. But you need to get into the thing of the Word of God is investing, because we're investing in gifts that God uses. And that is investing in God Himself. I mean, if we took and look at Moses, how the people treated Moses is how God dealt with them. See, we need to understand this. A lot of Christians are in a lot of trouble because God's dealing with them the way they deal with God's gifts in the earth. And God, what He's doing in the earth. See, we need to understand the importance of this, just concerning these things. Especially, you know, people specifically God gifts to do things. And anoints to do things. And, we talk about, and the Bible talks about praying for leaders and those who are in authority. Most people don't pray for the leadership of the church. They don't pray for the gifts in the church. Not just the gift like their pastor or whatever, but the gifts that are in the church. These are God's gifts. If there's anything, one of the things I want to say, the lack of investment and the lack of concerning prayer in these are one of the reasons why we don't see power. We don't see the things that we want to see out of gifts when people don't respond to the gift. They don't think it's important. They don't think of what they do as a very, very important thing. You know, other people's gifts, I know, just like with Kenneth Hagin, the success in my life was being hooked up to him, sowing into him. You know, when the Lord told me to follow that ministry close, over the years, I've had seen hundreds of people come to our church and say God sent them here. And you know what? When it don't work out the way they want it, they leave. And you know what? They don't go nowhere. People need to understand this. What do we do? It isn't just coming on listening. God puts things in me to say for people to do, for people to walk in and walk in the light of, is what it's for, because it will bless them. There's things concerning out of my gift. If you learn to get spiritual, you'll learn how to draw anointings and get anointings that I walk in. But you won't if you ain't invested in it. I'm just telling you. I've learned it with Randy Greer. I'm invested in his ministry. I'm invested in it. And you know what? I've gotten things from it. I've gotten anointings from it. It ain't just about listening. Because you're going to be limited in your listening if God can't get you to naturally do some things to support that, to help that. That's one of the things that I go to his meetings, but I go there to help out too. Wow, I'm invested in that thing. I'm invested. I'm just not trying to get something. I want to bless him. Most people don't even go to church to bless anybody other themselves. Yep. I'm going to here. I'm going to go do this. I need this and I need that. It's a funny thing. When I started off in Christianity, I never thought, first thing I wanted to do is go do. I was invested. Anything I was ever in concerning the church world, I was invested in it. I was working in it, doing it, sowing into it. Wanda's always been like that. We've always been in it, and we've always been blessed, and we have never struggled like other people have. Never. We've never. You know, people come along and all your kids, and they get to be their teens, and they get to be this. We never had none of that trouble. We had none of that. Why? Life wasn't all about us. See, we were invested into things, and the payoffs were great. The blessing from it. And so you need to understand, when I think about the things like the blessing that Wanda and I have gotten is much greater than the money we've given. Much greater. You know, we need to understand. See, people, many times, and even Christians, a lot of what they do is mostly just their lives are planned just like the world is. They just like the world plans and like the world is. They don't see the importance of spiritual things. Everything's, you know, in the natural. Everything's natural. What I'm doing. The average Christian, when they give money, it's just a natural thing. It's, you know, well, I'm, you know, doing this and this is nice. No, I'm going to tell you what. Me and God are working together. You know? I'm just not just a servant of God. I'm a worker together with Him.
Amen.
He has me on staff. Do you want on staff? Are you just want to hang at the counter all the time, or you know, go in, get to looking at all those things you'd like to have and can't ever get? Now this is it, but we need to get into this thing, because why? We want a move of God, and a move of God. The disciples come along. Jesus is going to send, is sending me. What does he tell? Pray for the Lord of harvest to send laborers into the harvest. See, I don't believe people pray that because they're afraid God might send them. Oh yeah. Well, if I pray this, what if he sends me? And then when he sent the disciples, what did he do when he sent them? Don't take any money along. Don't take a change of clothing. Don't take nothing. You just go. Oh, you mean we're going to have to live by faith? Ain't doing this, man. Uh-uh. No, I'll get some kind. You know, it's like a guy many years ago, there was this guy who was, a seminary graduate and all this kind of stuff. Now, number one, I knew God had called the man to the ministry, but he would never walk by faith. And he said this. Now, he worked for Hershey Foods at that time, which is Hershey Chocolate now, or the Hershey Company. Anyhow, he said this. He was going to wait till he retired, then he'd have the money, and then he could go and just do all this stuff he could do. Let me tell you what happened to his life. His wife died of cancer early, and him, for the last 20 years, his health is so rotten and shot that he don't do nothing. And you know what? You're not walking in the will of God. That's what happens. You don't do the will of God. I had a person one time said this to me, a Christian person. God had called them to do something. In fact, they heard from God and even admitted and said, and they made this public statement that God had said something, had spoke to them and told them concerning their race and life, they were supposed to run. And you know what they did? When things got along and didn't go right, they just dropped out of it completely. And I went to them and reminded them of what God told them. Oh, and they said, yes, God told me that. God told me that. Well, they still didn't do it. And died way prematurely, too. God didn't kill them. God don't do that. But see, people need to understand this stuff. You know, this isn't some kind of game that we do here in this thing. This is important things because we're coming down to the end of this age. There's laborers needed for the harvest. Everybody wants to sit at the table and eat. I mean, I take time out to eat, but I learned to feed myself. I grew up enough. I have to feed myself because, you know, I can't go all the time and go. So I got to feed myself. And I do go to places and sit and listen to things, you know, and you gotta go do that. That's what you, things you have to do. And when everybody else gets to play and do all their running around, everybody wants to come to get the anointings that are on people that they paid for, that they worked to get while they played all the time. And we'll just show up for a service and I'm going to get it. In the world, you know, people go out, they go to Christian concerts. Amazing what people sometimes will pay for a ticket. I often thought of selling tickets to come to church. Make Christians pay up. Well, I've thought about it. These people go out here and hold concerts. They say, well, I got a ministry from God. They sell tickets. And if they went to church, I'd tell them, you're going to pay a ticket to get in here. I got a ministry. No, they like the concerts because they get entertained. I don't get entertained at church. Ed's not a great entertainer. See, when you sit in a concert night crowd, nobody knows you and they think you're all right. They don't know you're as flaky as the day is long, you know. They don't know. You're as backslidden and whatever else. They don't know. They're all in there playing like they're something. Some are, many aren't. But you go to church, if you do that often in a place, people might get to know you. Oh, you just laugh or say, oh me, or whatever. You know? But these are things, you know, I say these things to you. God's been talking this stuff to me for years. You know, you hear it secondhand. Too many Christians would quit if they heard it firsthand. They'd never stay around. But see, this is important. God is in the blessing business. He's in the blessing business. Think about what you do in the earth, the things that give you pleasure. Would you think about God's things? How much is that the pleasure that you would give? Does that give you pleasure or is that just work? Does that give you... You know, I don't find getting into the Word is work. I find it great pleasure because it's life to me. I find it's wonderful to do. You know, meditating things on the Word of God to me is the most wonderful thing. Amen. You know, I get out in the morning and run, and I do a lot of meditation when I'm running. I think of things in my mind, just thinking about things, the Word of God, and just stuff just comes to you, and it's the most wonderful thing to think. Man, the things of God. And you know, you get out there and you're running it. Well, I ain't thinking about my body and what it's doing. I'm thinking about these other things. And the next thing I know, I'm running and I'm like, man, I don't remember going through this, going through that. My mind's in another place. If you can't do that, you're going to have a hard time in this earth. Because your mind's always going to be on the stuff of this earth. It's wearing. It's wearing. This is why the life of faith is not wearing. It isn't that you're not going to go through trials and tests, but your focus ain't on those. Your focus is on the one you're in faith with, on the one who you're trusting in. Your focus is on Him, and you're not wearing out. See, for 30 years, I was wearing it out. In that life, I would have never lived this long. There's no way I was ever going to live this long. I probably wouldn't have got within 20 years of it. But see, you get over in life, and I see people today, they're just wearing out in life. They're worried of things. People just wearing out. Life is hard, you know. I hear people say, you know, oh man, boy, it's no picnic getting older. I don't know. I ain't had a problem with it. I have a problem with getting older. I like it. I'm getting closer to be with Jesus. This is looking good. You know, you don't have to get sick to die. You could just leave, you know.
Amen.
Most people will have to get sick to die. Most Christians will because they don't have no faith. They don't use their faith and they couldn't get faith and die. Their body's going to have to fall apart and they're going to have to be in misery before they go. Because they don't use their faith. You know, last year I had a brother passed away, and you know, he came along, and now he was Catholic. He was my one brother. He was a Catholic. But one thing he did believe in Jesus. I mean, he had faith in Jesus. But one of the things about it, he came down and he ended up, he had come down with cancer, and they told him, you know, things, he's in his 80s, and they were told him what things he was going to have to do, that they were going to do, you know, with him. He said, nah, he said, I'm leaving. He said, I'm leaving. And you know what? He downright left. When he said he was leaving, he left. He didn't lay around. He said, no, he said, I'm leaving. He said, told the doctors, don't do anything, I'm leaving. And he just, in no time, left. And man, trying to get these spirit-filled folks to act in faith is a tough thing. He said, I'm leaving, I'm going. And that's what he did. He didn't hang around, he left. I wanted to sit down and talk to him. He told me, he said, I'm leaving. I'm not going to stay. I ain't doing nothing. I'm going. I really thought it was something because he didn't talk even like most so-called spirit-filled people do. Well, you know, God's will. No, he said, I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And he left. See, he set himself in a direction and he did it. His mouth. He was vested in it. In leaving. And he's with Jesus. And I know he ain't complaining about that. Hallelujah! But you know, most people don't have the, you know, it's tough when you're having a tough time believing God to stay and you can't even believe God to go. That's a hard life.
Amen.
That's hard. That's hard. See, this faith life's wonderful and it's everything the Bible says it is. If the Apostle Paul could write wonderful letters to the church, it has no excuse but to smile. You know, he vested more than I did. And I just want to encourage you in this. Sit down and think about yourself. We're coming here to the end times. Start to listen on the inside about what to do. Start getting invested into God's kingdom of what he's doing. If we want to move of God, it's going to cost me something. But you know what? You know, see, we talk about being a servant. I'm not a servant of God. I'm not a slave. I'm a servant by choice. And you're going to have to make that choice if you're going to be one. You have to, I can't make that choice for somebody and nobody can make it to you. We might be sons of God, but by our choice, we become his servant. That's just by choice of what we do. And that's a submission thing that we decide. You know, I hear Christians say, well, everything I have, you know, God's given to me. Well, why don't you live like that's true? When that happens, let me know. We'll all cheer on that. Okay? But see, people say that all the time. They say, this God, you know, God's one, he's blessed me. Well, let's bless God. See, that's what I want. I want to bless him too. Man, I mean, I want to bless him. My, what he's done for me. I find great pleasure in doing things for him.
Amen.
Great pleasure. I don't have to do it to get him to love me. He loved me before I was saved. I'm not trying to get him to love me. I'm going to tell you what, we do it because we love him. Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll keep my word. I'll tell you, meditate on that for about 4 months. It'll change your life. Most people, he said, he didn't say, he loves us. He does. But he knows if we love him. Because he said, if you love me, you keep my word. And we see many people sing songs about loving God. It ain't true. They know what the word says. They don't keep it. They don't walk in it. No. If we love him, we keep his word. And why do we do it? I'm not doing it to get blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed and you're blessed already with every spiritual blessing. Don't you want to enjoy what's yours? I do. I want to enjoy what's mine. Hallelujah. But we're going to get into teaching on some things concerning prosperity and that. Then next week we're going to pick up on some things here about how the keys of power and prayer and that. We're going to do it. We're going to get into talking some areas of prosperity that don't generally get talked about a lot. But there's things in God's blessing. We have to change how we think. If you don't change how you think, you will never change what you do. You take anybody, it's one of the things that I found out this with people, you know, you may be able to change for a short period of time. But, you know, people will set a course for to do something, try to accomplish something. They'll do it for a short period of time. But if they don't change the way they think, they'll be back doing what they did before. You've got to change how you think about things. It's got to become a thing where what you believed before, it ain't right. And you got to come down to the things, and this is one of the things that, you know, getting down the Word of God, is the Word of God true? And if it is, then I must conform my thought to it. The things I am having a hard time, if I feel like conforming to, then I need to spend most of my time studying and praying about that, of why I'm in unbelief on it. Why? If I keep tripping over the same thing, what's wrong that I trip over the same thing? See, we need to find that about ourselves. See, most people, they spend a lot of time doing all kind of other stuff, and they just stay in the ditch all the time. They never get out of the ditch. They just go back and repeat the ditch then. They just end up going right back. They get out, walk a little bit, good for a while, but next thing, they're laying back in the ditch again. I always know why that takes place. They never change the way they thought. You got to change the way you think about things. See, if you don't, your life's like a roller coaster. And, you know, you get real happy, something, anything good comes along, you get really happy about because you have so many downhills that any little rise tickles you. And you just go back and you just repeat the same things over and over again. You know, I don't want to be the dog that returns to the vomit. But many people live that life. They're in and out of it. They're in and out of that life. They go in and out of it. Don't do that. Don't do it. Change the way you think. Find out what is it that I'm having a problem with, and then sit down and say, now, so I'm not operating in faith in it. I wouldn't have a problem with this thing. I'm not operating in faith. I can't walk this thing. What is it? It's only good if you can walk it. Knowing about it ain't enough. You got to be able to walk it. And that's what you want to do. And you get it down till it gets in you. You walk it. You know, when you arrive at the place of faith, it'll change your life. If it don't really change your life. See, many people say things for a short period of time and it sounds good and it gives them an emotional high. But if you can't maintain and walk in it, you really don't have a revelation on it. It's not real to you. It's not real. See, I've watched Christians that their own salvation is never real to them. They never hung in there on it. They never come to place. This is the real thing. I'm not wavering in and out of this thing. This isn't up and down, in and out. See, walk by faith and you talk it. This is why, make sure you get the right things on your voice. Don't talk about God's things are hard to do. We've never experienced, there's people that had to go through hard because of what God called them to do. We sit in this table, at this table, we don't know nothing about it.
That's right.
We don't know a thing about hard.
That's exactly right.
You don't know a thing about Apostle Paul. That was hard. Which he did with joy. He was called. He couldn't have done that talking like most people. See, he set on a course. See, I want to be able to go through the hard things without wailing and crying and bawling and bawling about things. I want to be able to face the hard and not lose my joy. I want to do that in life. Hallelujah. I've learned to attain this, some of this stuff. And I just, you know what? It's wonderful. I don't want to go back to something else. I don't want to go back to this thing where the little things that are easy to do and I still can't do them. One of the problems we have, you know, the scripture tells us, you know, and Paul's writing, he was going to take them back over. He said, you know, the preliminaries, he said, we've already had. We need to go on to something greater. 99% of Christians in America still got to keep trying to get the basics into them. They never can even get the basics. and it makes it hard to go on to anything else. It's like Dr. Fred Price had said, I came to him in his church and said, why do you teach on faith all the time? Why don't you teach on this and that? He said, well, he said, when you get the faith thing, we'll go on to something else. I know this in our own church. I could teach faith for the next year and never change the subject, and there'll still be people that still ain't got it. Because they think they know something, yet they can't do it. We ain't got it till we can do it.
That's right.
We ain't got it till we can do it. I can know about it, but I want to know how to do it. Why? Because the blessing is in the doing. The blessing's not in the knowing. We've been taught if you believe things, you're blessed. No, you're not. If you can't do it, you ain't blessed. The blessing's in the doing. Hallelujah. The blessing's in able to walk by faith. You know what the blessing's in? It's when you're stretched out there and you have your faith in God and there's nothing else around you. You're standing on the water. And if God don't move, you drown. That's the wonderful place to be. It's not walking out here in this place and everything's good. That's not, you don't need faith when you ain't got nothing going on. Great faith comes from great trials. Quit avoiding them. Quit running from the trials in life. Run to them. Prove God out. When you find out that He is actually good and not just something you were saying every once in a while. Say, He's good. Man, I got so excited on Sunday when Darlene read the thing and said, His name is wonderful. And I thought, oh my God, He is. He's absolutely wonderful. Man, and I just got over looking at that and said, His name is wonderful. When I heard that, it's like, oh my God, that's His. He is wonderful.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that word in the Hebrew, wonderful, that always means He's miraculous. He's just out there. That's Him. I thought, that's my Jesus. He's wonderful. But see, if you have nothing to label on Him, it's just a word. The reason I think He's wonderful is because I can sit and talk about His wonderful things He's done and done and done and done and done. That faith has brought to pass. See, wonderful doesn't mean much. We walk around, God's wonderful. Well, what did He do to you that's so wonderful? Well, He saved me. Well, that was good. How many years ago was that? What happened since then? You should have a big, long list by now. And not the get-by list. He helped me just scrape by again. He was merciful because I was faithless. Oh, you ain't ever been there. Oh, I know all you people. You just sit way out there, man. My God, you got. I want to tell you what. He's wonderful. He's had mercy on me.
Amen.
Woo! That's why He's wonderful. See, that's His name. His name is wonderful. He's wonderful. You know, everybody wants the counselor and the Prince of Peace. I want that wonderful. I'll tell you what. I like that wonderful God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's close. Father, we just want to say thank You tonight. Thank You, Lord God, because You are good. Lord God, You're working in us. You're stirring us up. Lord, concerning the end times, Your word says that everything that can be shaken will be. And Lord God, I want to thank You that You shake us up because we need to be shaken. And I want to thank You, Lord God. Lord, we're not being shaken to harm us. But Lord God, the shaking removes the things that are temporal. But the eternal, hallelujah, is unmovable. And I thank You, Lord God, You're shaking off of us the temporal. Hallelujah. The temporal things are being shaken up. Hallelujah. They're falling off of us. Hallelujah. And the eternal is left. Hallelujah. What glorifies You and what magnifies You is left. And You're glorified and Your glory is revealed in us. Hallelujah. I just thank You. Father, show us and teach us about investing in your kingdom and in the gifts that you've given this earth. Lord God, that we're sold out to this move of God we desire and want to have. Lord God, that turns this the people of this nation and around the world upside down. Hallelujah, in this last day. Lord God, we don't want a little bit. We want a lot. And Lord God, we're really willing. Lord God, bring us to the place that we're willing to give a lot of ourselves. Hallelujah. To lay down a lot of ourselves to see this glory, to see these wonderful things. Hallelujah. Lord God, the treasures of your kingdom in manifestation in this earth. Hallelujah. Oh Lord God, is much better than any kind of silver and gold that men could give or whatever they could do. Lord God, of whatever this earth can offer and the comforts to men, Lord God, we want to be comforted in your glory. Hallelujah. We want to walk in that place, Lord God, where things happen that are so far outside of our thinking and imagination, Lord God, that men would stop and say, man can't do that. That has to be God. Hallelujah. That's God's glory. And Lord God, we're going to be a people who just give you the praise and give you the glory because you're the one. You're working, hallelujah, doing glorious things. And Lord God, open our eyes to your glory around us that we can see, hallelujah, your hand. Many times, Lord God, we need to repent. Our eyes caught in the natural have hidden your glory from us. And Lord God, we pray to see it so we always give you glory and praise for your goodness and mercy and kindness to us because it's only because of you that we even exist. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.